This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher, and the lovely round-eyed, brown-eyed, I'm never going to get it right. Mary Goulet, and just the handsome and gorgeous Rich Ote. What's up, baby?
Oh, thank you.
What's up, baby? The blab boy in the house. All right, so we're trying to still figure all this fun stuff out. Thank you for your patience as you listen to these podcasts, and you're going, what the hell are these folks talking about? And it's basically just technology all the time, and we're getting there slowly but surely as we work through getting us live on blab.im. So if you're listening to the podcast, check us out live when we broadcast every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific. But here's the interesting thing, right? Because what week is this?
Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, and...
And what day is today?
Tuesday.
So people are like, what the hell? It's not okay. Thursday. It's Tuesday. Right. And here we are, and we're broadcasting live on Tuesday because we actually care about our people here at Reinvention Radio.
We care about our pilgrims.
We care about our pilgrims, exactly. And so we decided that it would be better to do it on Tuesday, which is what we are doing right now. So
you
welcome
stole
everyone.
My showtime.
I stole your showtime. And so we have to give a big hug and props to Mary Goulet because that was awesome of you to do such things, which is you literally gave us your showtime. So thank you for that, so we could be here. So let's just make this the Mary Goulet show.
There you go.
Let's just make this the Mary Goulet show. Why are you holding your iPad? What is going on over there?
I don't have a stand and it's plugged in. It's the way
it is. That the
you're making everybody
oh
dizzy.
God, so you're like, this is what you're using to broadcast right now. But what?
Well, because I struggled with my stupid laptop last time, and now I have three options. I've got Droid tablet, my iPad, and the laptop.
No, you got it all. All right.
Yes.
Awesome. And so for those who are listening to the podcast,
and then
again,
I don't have to see you.
And then you don't have to see me. I know you just put it up like right in front of your face, which is awesome. But then they can't see you either. So it kind of defeats the purpose.
They can't see me.
Because if you block me, then you're blocking yourself, and then the people can't see you. All right, whatever. All right. So, and again, if you've listened to the podcast, thank you so much for that. For those who have been rating and subscribing and reviewing, awesome. Please keep up the good work there, and we do very much appreciate it. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but our hard work and diligence is actually paying off. Have you?
Boy, did I see the smackdown going on.
Oh, man.
I
am obsessed.
Who was that? Your Facebook?
I am
obsessed. Facebook?
Oh, yeah, Facebook.
Oh, we're going to watch him. You know, just give him a little time to glow. Yeah. We're going to take him down. That was so funny.
So it was
friends
like,
love you.
So, like, this last week was, like, the only time in history that I'll probably be able to look back at Lewis Howes, you know, because Lewis Howes is this big, you know, athletic dude. He's a huge guy. And not only that, but he's huge, like, in what he's doing with this podcast and all that fun stuff. And people know him and that pisses me off. But anyway, I still love him. Good guy. Spoken Internet Prophets Live, which is awesome to have him there. But one of the things that I'm super proud of is this week, Reinvention Radio was ranked better than the School of Greatness. So fuck you.
All right.
I love you, Lewis. But we take great pride in showing people
awesome.
The view. And unfortunately, I was wearing my G-string that day. So the view for Lewis and the team there back from behind was quite nice. But you ladies don't do this. Ladies don't razz each other.
No,
my wife, like, she, Rich, how do we explain this to the ladies? Because they don't get it. It's like, why do you guys do that to each other? Because that's what guys do. Because
you're little boys.
We have small, like, egos.
We razz each other to each other's face. You guys razz each other
behind the back.
Behind the back.
Yeah, we hide our knife.
You hide the knife.
You guys.
Oh, God, that is like a perfect segue. You and I didn't even talk about this.
No.
So this is a really interesting show. So we got Michael Burke on, and we're going to be talking about
our own minds.
Well, in his mind as well, which is why he decided to join us, because he's got a really interesting story. And we're super excited to hear about this, because, I mean, good Lord. What this guy has had to go through is nothing short of just like, oh, my God, why should anyone be dealt that hand? And it's just like, you know, that's the kind of thing, man, in life. You can't really control the cards that you're dealt, but you can control how you play the game.
Yeah.
And so really, you know, Mike's a perfect example of somebody who just said, look, I have been dealt a pretty shitty hand of cards, but I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to get my way through it. And so that story is pretty amazing. But you were talking about a knife and how the ladies kind of stab each other, right? And that sort of thing. And not talking about Jared and how he's going to get shanked in prison, because we covered enough of Jared last week. By the way, did I tell you how out of shape I am?
No, let's.
Can I tell you how out of shape I am?
Like, Jared made you think of that?
Jared made me think about being
Sometimes I just don't even know where it's going.
All right, so I am so out of shape. Like, I kid you not. Like, we put in these black fluorescent sort of light bulbs when it's Halloween, you know, outside so that, you know, it kind of gives it that funky, scary, you know, kind of looking thing going on out there. And so I have to change the light bulbs, right, to put in the black fluorescent lights or whatever it calls it. Anyway, long story short, I am telling you, I got up on a ladder. And, like, those three steps, by the time I got to the top of the ladder,
you were winded.
I was winded. All right, and then to make things, like, even worse, like, my arm was like from reaching up and like having to twist. So like reaching. So first of all, I was high up in the air. So the altitude was like pretty shitty up there. Right. So I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't breathe. So I had to blame that on the altitude. So I'm like way up on the third step of this ladder. I'm trying to change the light bulb. And so I've got my hand on the bulb and I'm twisting. I should be really good at twisting by now. You would think at 46 years old. By the way, my birthday is tomorrow. Pretty happy birthday to me.
I know it is. Dang it. You ruined it. We were going to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, you can still sing to me. But so here I'm twisting. And like the lactic acid is like building up in my shoulder. And in my forearm, and I had to like take a break. Like I literally had to take a break, like half twist.
Why don't you have, your wife do it then?
Are you kidding? She's like, put that there, put this there, and put that over there. That's what our roles are, and I do it. But anyway, I'm like super out of shape. I just wanted to share that with you, so I got to figure out
what you can do about it.
Nothing, not a goddamn thing.
Because you look like a badass when you're riding your Harley.
You know what? Harleys can. And by the way, I got rid of the Harley, so now I'm on another bike. I went to a bigger bike. I had to get more speed because I kept getting like drifted on the freeway there.
Because
and that's
you
not
white
cool.
line and you freak me out.
Because I white line, exactly.
I don't like it.
As Mike would say, you only live once, and so you got to deal with the. You know, that's Michael tells about his story, but you only live once. So I like speed. I like the air. I like all that fun stuff. And you know who else probably liked the air but no longer can have it? You never know where I'm going
sometimes
with this.
Sometimes I'm like,
you never know where I'm going with this.
I figure out where you're going with this because did you see my eyes go sideways?
All right. So basically, so as you know, I'm from Chicago. And I don't know why I'm putting my hand on my chest, but somehow, like, when I say I'm from Chicago, like, that...
You own it.
That does something. If you own something, do you put your hand on your chest? So that means, like, it's you. That sort of thing. All right, so my hand is on my chest. I'm from Chicago. So as you guys know, I came here, or maybe if you're just listening for the first time here, now you know, I just came to San Diego for the first time about a year plus ago. And now we're selling our house, and we're moving. And, of course, moving in the middle of the holidays and everything else, which will be nothing but fun.
And but, you had trouble changing a light bulb.
And I had trouble. Yes, exactly. Oh, the idea of putting all these things in boxes and lifting boxes. I'm too fucking old for this shit. You know how many? We have moved 6 times in the last 9 years.
You better stop that.
I'm telling you. And so,
better be it for a while.
Did you see the picture of our new house, by the way?
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You only saw the picture of the pool. Did you see the actual...
Well...
That's all that matters, right? So you move to San Diego, you want a nice place, you get the pool.
Who won that draw?
I won that draw. That was like, if I'm moving, I'm getting a pool. So you saw that place, Rich, yeah?
Yeah.
This is going to be like a party central place.
But wasn't your
that's
son...
That's the new place, though.
That is the new place.
That there we go.
And you know who I'm super excited to have over at the pool?
Us?
White Wade. I'm like, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I cannot wait to have White Wade at the pool.
I can't believe you said that.
Only bring him at night, though, or he won't be called White Wade anymore.
Oh, man. So that's going to be awesome. All right. So,
oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
See, now I'm afraid to go into this story because it's like, you know me. It's like we go up and then we go down. I'm like, you know what actually I am? I'm just like the medication I take. I, you know, when the medication wears off, I go down. When the medication kicks in, I go up. So
there,
so there we go.
But and where are you today?
So where am I today? Right now, I'm talking about Chicago. And I don't know if you follow what's going on in
like
Chicago or not.
15 minutes ago.
You know, we've only got 12 minutes in this segment, and it takes me 10 minutes
to get
there.
Okay, so what's going on with Chicago?
So what's going on in Chicago is they finally decided they were going to convict this officer. This officer, Jason Van Dyke, who basically decided that it was the right thing to do to shoot a 17-year-old. Not just once, not just twice, but repeatedly, and killed this 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. So it's been like this big hole to do. And rightly so, I mean, because with everything that's going on, I mean, you know, Ferguson, Baltimore,
right.
I mean, you name it, right? I mean, this... Let's just say that on the scale of popularity in the black community, the cops aren't rating very high right now. Yeah, just a hunch there. So anyway, this guy basically decided that he was going to pull out his weapon and discharge his weapon like way too many times. And they had this basically they have the dash cams, right? So they have these dash cams. They sit on the vehicle. They wouldn't release the dash cam like for months and months and months. they wouldn't release the dash cam. So everybody's like, okay, what the hell is going on here? Why are you guys not releasing the dash cam? Anyway, long story short, the cop basically tried to say that at the time of his death, this guy had a 4-inch blade and he was lunging at the officer. But of course, the dash cam shows everything that is completely
the
antithesis of what the cop was saying. But there was over a 14 to 15-second period, 13 of those seconds, the victim was on the ground. The victim was already down on the ground, out, for 13 of the 15 seconds that the officer kept discharging his weapon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, they charged him with murder. They finally charged a cop with murder. And I got to tell you, that's hallelujah in my book, because that is so far overdue. And it's scary to me that we give these cops so much creative liberty. And they take the law into their own hands, and they think they're above the law. I'm just really excited today because I got to tell you, in the scheme of things, if they didn't convict this guy of murder, that would have been a complete and total travesty. So one of the guys that we're going to have on the show here really, really soon is a reverend by the name of Michael Flager. And Reverend Michael Flager is a prominent Catholic priest on the city south side of Chicago there. And basically, this guy, Spike Lee did a movie called Chirac. And so that's coming out here really, really soon. And Reverend Michael Flager had a big part of what to do with that film. And so Spike Lee and the whole nine, they're covering all the hell that's going on there.
Okay.
But it's super exciting for me to see how they're finally going to show the rest of the world how we need to take a stand. So after the break, we're going to talk to Michael Burke. And we're going to take a stand against cystic fibrosis and everything else here on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
Okay, I got it now. So this is really good. See, we got Kelly all the way out in Southern Illinois helping us here. This is the beauty of technology.
How is she doing that?
Because she's giving us hints. Like, I'm seeing it right now. So welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And she's telling, so on the commercials, basically what we got to do is we got to unmute ourselves here so that people can hear what's going on in the studio, which is what we're going to do. All right, that's fun. We're going to do some of that. And by the way, we actually have an official sponsor, like an official sponsor, not just liquor.com.
Have they heard the show?
Well, that's the question. We'll see if they remain a sponsor after this. But this episode of Reinvention, and I'm actually going to read this. This is so cool. Like, I'm really going to do this. So this episode of Reinvention Radio is actually, man, I'm so excited. I'm like super excited about this.
Yeah, you're
it's
on a
brought
different
to
page
you,
today.
I am. The pills are kicking in. And speaking of pills, we're going to talk to Mike about pills. We're going to have a great conversation about that. But this episode is brought to you by The Mortar, which is themortarblog.com. So you've all heard that apartment buildings can be a great investment. Well, Mary, you know that because you're in real estate.
Yes.
But done right, investing in multifamily, as you know, can provide a nest egg for retirement and can even set you free from the 9-to-5 corporate grind. But getting started, as you all know, and Rich, you can attest to this as well, it's very, very hard. So would you like to learn how it's done right from the pros? Well, check out The Mortar, where professional investor Jonathan Twombly will share his insider tips and strategies, and it's all free. So just subscribe to The Mortar at themortarblog.com. It's what holds the bricks together. The Mortar.
Nice.
Awesome. I love that. Yay. Okay. So good for us. Good for Jonathan. Good for The Mortar. We got a sponsor. Yay. Okay. So welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Today we've got Michael Patrick Burke on, and this is going to be pretty interesting. So bring up Michael's line so you can hear him. And Michael, are you in right now? Can you hear us? Can we hear you?
I can hear you, fellas.
Yay. Technology works. I love when it actually
works.
All right. Sweet. Touchdown. And you're on Blab with us, which is awesome, so we can see you. And before we got started here, I was telling you, I kind of like the beard. I'm trying to get there, but mine doesn't quite grow in just like that. So I'm working on it. But Michael, you got a pretty interesting story, and to be honest, man, it's kind of heartbreaking. But looking at you with that big, huge, shit-eating grin, man, it's like life couldn't be any better right now, man. That's the nice thing about Blab with this video. You know, you get to see your guests, you get to talk to them. It's like it's more personal. I like it.
Yeah, I love it. I have three things going.
I know. Look at how happy Mike is. Gosh. I mean, like, Mike is like, he's like a super happy dude. And like, why wouldn't he be? Because at age 16, you were told that your life expectancy was basically going to be till the age of 18. What happened exactly?
That's
then?
That's right.
What happened? Tell people your story.
Well, I was actually born with cystic fibrosis. It's a genetic disease. And when I was diagnosed at 14 months old, the doctors told my parents I would be lucky to live another 5 years. And I obviously lived longer than 5 years. And each year, though, the life expectancy would go up a little bit more. And so when I turned 16, I just got curious, like every other teenager does. But I had this thing that put me in the hospital, and I took 10,000 pills a year. My dad used to have to clap on my chest and my back to clear the stuff out of my lungs. So I picked up a medical journal, because we just didn't talk about it as a family, and I read my life expectancy was 2 years away, and I freaked out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Man, so what exactly was going through your mind at that point? I mean, because you knew, right? I mean, obviously your parents told you what was going on. So, I mean, you knew, but this must have set in like a whole different level of reality.
Yeah, you know, growing up, taking that many pills, you know something's going on. But I was a relatively healthy kid, even with the disease. But as it turns out, you know, they put me in the hospital as a teenager to clear out my lungs and try to gain weight. Those are the big problems with the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I met peers who were dying for the first time. And when I read in that medical journal that my life expectancy was 2 years away, and I saw my friends dying, and there were no adults, I'm the first generation to get out of adulthood. So you see all that as a 16-year-old, and I was just completely ill-equipped to understand what my life had in store other than suffering and dying before I got out of high school.
Wait, and just so I'm clear here, when you say you're part of the first generation to make it into adulthood, what does that mean exactly? Are you telling me that before, I mean, at what point did people start living beyond the age of 18?
My generation.
So people born in the 70s basically had an opportunity, because I'm assuming you're a 70s baby, is that accurate?
Yeah, I was born in 1970.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and that's the beauty of Blab. It's like, I can look at somebody now. But I'm not going to do this with the ladies, by the way, Mary. If we have we're going to have a lady on in the next hour, I'm not going to play that game. But I'm guessing that Michael was a child of the 70s, and so here we go. So, basically, if you were born before 1970 or so, if you had cystic fibrosis, it was basically, it was a death sentence. You were going to die before the age of 18.
It was. The old wives' tales would be the salty babies died. One of the ways that they test us, above genetic testing even, is the salt content in our sweat. I lose salt at astronomical rates.
Mm.
So if I work out, there'd be salt crystals all over my body. And so the tale was the salty babies will die. Mm. And when I was diagnosed at 14 months old, the life expectancy was 5 to 7 years old.
And just for me, because I mean, I really don't know, and I'm sure there are others just like me who really don't know. What is cystic fibrosis exactly? Like, how is it defined? What is it?
So it's an inherited disease. And think of, we all have a little doorway in our cells, and that doorway opens and closes, and it lets in and out salt and water. It's basically a hydration mechanism. My doorway doesn't open properly, so the cells in my body are dehydrated. So think of a puddle of mud. As it starts drying out, it gets thicker and thicker, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to get gross here for a second, but the mucus in my lungs is unbelievably thick.
Mm.
And that that not only plugs airways, but it attracts killer bacteria. And so that's the lungs. And then the other major system it impacts is the digestive system. My pancreas does not secrete digestive enzymes.
Hmm.
So when I was diagnosed, they said, you're going to watch your child die of pneumonia and starvation.
Jesus.
And it was, a lot to handle for my parents.
Yeah, so wait a minute. So most parents at that point would have looked at the history of what happens with a child who has cystic fibrosis, and they would have thrown in the towel and just said, we'll enjoy as much time with him as we possibly can, but we know the end is coming soon. But I get the feeling that your parents didn't exactly take this sitting down. So what did they do that you have found that other parents didn't do when they found that their child was diagnosed with this disease?
Their expectation, regardless of what the doctors would say, is that I was going to live to be an old man.
Mm.
And nice. I had three older brothers, and they just assumed I would do well. And so they just did everything the doctor told them to do, they did. And there's luck involved. You know, with my genetic mutation, most of my peers are either passed away or have had double lung transplants and all this nasty stuff to their body. I got a little lucky for whatever reason, but my parents just assumed I was going to be an old man.
Mm-hmm. But at the same token, this was just sort of a positive thinking. I mean, this is like, what is it, Norman Van Peel, Vincent Van Peel? I never can remember which guy it is, but it's it's that power of positive thinking. And actually, it around that time, that's when that book was kind of popularized. So I wonder how much of that sort of law of attraction, power of positive thinking, I wonder how much of that actually was in your parents' life. I mean, that'd be kind of interesting to find out, because for most folks, they wouldn't have that type of sunny outlook. They would be pretty devastated. But obviously, your parents decided that that wasn't how they were going to look at the future for you, and that wasn't how they were going to look at the present. And that, I think that's the hardest part for so many parents is, and I mean, hell, I was mad at my kids last night. Like, I don't even know why. I was just pissed. sometimes I just get pissed. I was mad at my older child, who, by the way, I should be like a lot more sympathetic, because we just moved here from San Diego, from Chicago, to San Diego. And now he's got friends. He's settling in, and now we're moving him again. So this is a move. This is hard on. The Chicago to San Diego was hard. Where we're going now to another place is equally hard. So I got to be a little more sympathetic. But I made like this great pre-Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, we're talking like chicken
nice.
And mashed potatoes and gravy and cranberries and all this. He was like, I'm not eating it. I was like, what?
Whoa.
What? Do you know how many children there are that don't have? I mean, there was like that kind of thing,
kind
of ugly. So anyway, fortunately, it's a matter then of taking a step back and recognizing that life happens in the present moment, and you have to share in those moments together, because you never know when,
You sound so wise.
I know, but like, it's true. I mean, Jesus. I don't know. All I can tell you is that your parents must have been very, very present to the notion that they have to enjoy each and every minute with you. And so that's, I'm sure, as you look back, I'm sure are your parents still alive?
Yeah, they are, as a matter of fact.
Wow, yeah.
And funny you should say it. Dad's got, this really isn't about Dad, but he's got cancer, and he has not missed a beat. Mm. He just refuses to get into it, and he's pretty sick right now. But
yeah.
The same approach he had with me as an infant, he has with himself. Wow. And that is, do what the doctors say and live the best normal life that he can live with a cancer that's going to take his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
man. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, we're coming up here on a let me just do this, because we're going to come up here on a break, and we got to pay some other bills here. But when we come back here, we're going to talk a little bit more with Mike here on Reinvention Radio. We're going to talk about some of the really interesting things that Mike has done. I mean, things that you would never expect someone to be able to do who was diagnosed with this disease. I mean, including marathons and half marathons. And I mean, exactly. And Ironman, and he hikes 100 miles, and all this while taking 10,000 pills and 500 hours of therapy. I mean, it's just such an amazing story of reinventing adversity. We'll be back with Mike, Rich, and Mary here on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher.
It's working.
You hate when I talk. It's like, here, I got to finish like how we went out from the last. So
yes,
more
I
with more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
I'm done with you.
You love just, you love like just taking me out. That's so funny. And then like coming back in, you're like, eh, all right, fine. It's like, it's almost torturous for you, I think, to turn on my mic because you never know.
Never know.
So you're like, should I? Should I? All right, fine. We'll give him the mic. All right. And speaking of the mic, hey.
Mike.
Michael Burke is in the house with us. All right. See, that works. So Michael Patrick Burke. So let me ask you this. So the people who like really know and love you, do they call you MPB?
They call me mostly anything.
Mostly, like, thank God you're alive. Like, I think that's probably what they do every time they see you and give you, like, really, really big hugs. So let me ask you this.
This is true.
Right. So before the break, we were talking about just, man, all of the things that you have been able to do. I mean, really, that just flies in the face. When you look at the diagnosis, when you look at what's supposed to happen when someone has this disease, you're not supposed to be able to run these marathons. I mean, you've done 9 marathons, 15 half marathons. You did an Ironman. You hiked 100 miles. So are you doing this like, here's what I picture. And like, you know how like those old women go into like, you see them when they come out of the house with like their oxygen tanks and they're like rolling in and that sort of thing. Do you have to like, are you running a marathon with like an oxygen tank like behind you? Is that, how do you do it?
No, not quite like that. But in its essence, the running, the swimming, the hiking, it's all therapy. Before there were machines that you could sit in to vibrate your chest, my dad used to have to pound on my chest and my back and my side for 100 times each night, just beating on me, not literally beating on me, but clapping on my back and chest to clear this mucus out of my lungs. It made me cough. Mm. So when I was too old for that, they said, well, keep them active. So I played soccer and baseball. But, you know, at one point I just got too skinny, too short, and too slow for any sports team. So I started running, and that was airway clearance for me. So it was therapy at the heart of what I was doing, and I didn't like it. I didn't like running. It was boring, and it was hard, man. I was coughing so hard that it made me throw up. And, you know, it's a good excuse to buy cool new shoes, but very frustrating when trying to develop a new habit.
So just so I'm clear here, are you saying that the running, which ostensibly you shouldn't hypothetically be able to do, the running actually helped your situation in terms of clearing out the mucus from the lungs?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Huh. Which is like, I mean, that's like so counterintuitive to what you would think you're supposed to do to treat this.
Very counterintuitive. I can't talk without being gross. There is this mucus in my lungs. And when you cough, the air moves through your lungs at close to the speed of sound. So that's why junk comes up in your lungs when you cough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to cough to get this stuff out. So running makes me cough. Biking, you know, at high rates, and swimming and hiking, it all makes me cough. It's all therapy. And it must be done for me to live really a full life.
Yeah, and so talk a little bit about the pills, because I ran the math on it, and I'm no math major, but 10,000 pills a year equates to like 4,000 pills a day, right? Something like that. So that's about right, isn't it, Mary? Something like that?
10,000?
Not even close. Something like that. All right, so how many pills?
This is why I want to pod you down.
Yeah. This is like the most participation you've had. What are you doing over there, by the way? You're like so caught up in technology.
Because
you're not even like
I can't stand this whole stupid thing.
So look at me you? Or so, okay. Or look at Rich or something. Okay. Like Mike is here. He's a great guy we have on. He wants to hear from you.
I am present.
You're present. All right. So talk to us, Mike, about the medication. What on earth are you having to take every day, and how much are you taking?
So in total, there's 36 pills a day. So that ends up technically being 13,140 pills a year. The majority of that comes from synthetic digestive enzymes because I have a pancreas that does not work, which also means I'm diabetic. But without those pills, I would starve to death. Literally, like the starving child in Africa, you see, that's what would happen to me.
Mm.
So that's the main part. And then there's drugs to clear my lungs, and then there's drugs to stop ulcers from growing because it causes ulcers, and then there's liver protection pills from the diabetes, and then there's antacids. What else can I say?
Yeah,
that's about it. But that's 36 a day.
So,
and without them, I'm not here on the face of the earth.
So, I mean, what can they do? You can do it with a liver. Can't you do it with a pancreas? Like, what happens if they put a new pancreas in you? Would that somehow change where you're at?
Best I know is they can't do a new pancreas. Otherwise, diabetes would, by and large, be cured.
Mm-hmm.
So about 9 years ago, I was having this real severe stomach pain while trying the marathon, and they did a little shot of my stomach, and they're like, yeah, by the way, you have no pancreas anymore. And that's when they diagnosed me with diabetes as I was training for my, fourth marathon.
Wow. All
so right. It's this continual progression of the disease, and you got to adapt, and you got to find new ways to make it work for you, to take all that medicine and bring value to yourself and to others and have a career and a family. You got to try to figure all that out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a book, right? And what is the name of the book?
The book is titled Waiting to Die, Running to Live.
Mm.
And it just very explicitly shows the two ways I used to think. Upon getting that news at 16 years old, I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of quit.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't take the medicine, I didn't do the therapies, I wasn't running, I didn't care about anything. And then, on my 30th birthday, when I finally surpassed every life expectancy, I thought, wow, I wasted a long time thinking about dying young, acting like I was dying young. Better now, better get busy living instead of get busy dying. I think that's from, what's the movie with Morgan Freeman?
I believe that's called Dora the Explorer. No, not Dora.
SpongeBob.
Boots the monkey, you better get busy living. Or you're going to get busy dying. I can picture Dora saying that
but
to Boots.
But you know
no?
what? It's pretty incredible because I kind of have a pill swallowing phobia. Like, it causes anxiety. And 36, I mean, you just had to get over that. And then continuing on to do so many things with your life, it makes Steve look incredibly lazy.
No. Yeah, and it's so
changed. No, it's really amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask you this. You did something called the Cure Quest on the Ozark Trail, or is that something you're still going? Did that happen?
That did happen. That was the 100-mile hike.
Oh, that was the 100-mile hike. Wow. So take us through that. What was the idea behind the Ozark Trail, the Cystic Fibrosis Cure Quest, and the other things that you got going on? But what was the thinking behind the Ozark Trail? Was it for awareness? Was it to raise funds? Was it all of the above? And why did you choose this particular region? I mean, I assume that's probably close to where you live, but why did you choose the Ozarks?
Well, I had run 9 marathons, and that that really changed my life. And then I wanted to up the ante, so I did a half Ironman, which is 70.3 miles of swimming, biking, and running. And I got a little injury last year, and I'm actually really having a little bit tough time breathing. The disease was taking a little bit of a toll on me where it hadn't before. But, again, exercise is therapy. So I thought, you know what, I can't run this fast. I can't do all of that this year. So, well, what can I do? I can walk. And if I can walk 1 mile, I can walk 10. If I can walk 10, I can walk 100. Mm. And so I just started training for this. Really, I wanted to go 230 miles, which was the entire length of the Ozark Trail. So I got my brother, and he and I started out on this hike. And it was a way, though, to keep the motivation high for me to exercise, even though I couldn't do everything I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I just had to adjust. You know, I couldn't, just was having a tough time. My lung capacity was dropping and just having a tough time with that. And I just didn't want to quit. You know, yeah. Say, well, I can't run anymore. Forget it. You know, yeah. So what can I do? I can walk and I can hike and we'll see where that takes me.
So when did that take place?
Just this September, late September of this year.
And were you able to raise funds? Is that what ended up happening? What was the result of this 100-mile walk?
Yeah, we raised a lot, a good portion of money, and you know, which all goes directly to Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We raised a ton of awareness. You know, we got a whole new group of people who knows about cystic fibrosis. The media picked up on it here and in Mid Missouri where the hike was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it allows all of the kids with cystic fibrosis and adults to see, well, I can't run marathons, but I can walk. You mm-hmm. know, I can walk. So mm-hmm. that was one of the other reasons. I was having a little bit of a tough time relating to my community because I was running marathons, and that's not easy.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not normal with CF. So I thought, well, why don't we show them what can be done?
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of hit two birds with one stone.
Yeah, absolutely. And of the people that are diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, as a percentage, how many typically live nowadays? How many typically live past the age of 40, or let's just call it 40?
Half live to the age of 40.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, so we obviously need to bring a lot more awareness to this, and really glad to have you here on the show. And we'll continue with Mike, you know, right after the break. But what is your website, Mike, if people want to check out the book or check out what's going on with you?
www.michaelpatrickburke.com.
Okay, www.michaelpatrickburke, and that's BURKE.com. So definitely check that out, and you can definitely check out Mike's book as well. But we will continue here on Reinvention Radio with Mary and Rich. And you're
going to
pop. Okay,
ready?
All right,
I'm
yeah,
going to.
Right back after this.
Right now.
Bye. Stop!
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Now I have to actually look at the board and see if you're popping me up.
I am.
I'm like, all right, yeah. Okay, good, I'm good.
You're
all right,
four.
So, yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Welcome back to Reinvention Radio here. And, man, we got a sponsor. And I got to tell you about the sponsor again,
because
that's what the guy's paying for. So this is awesome. And this episode of Reinvention Radio is brought to you by The Mortar. It's what holds real estate and the bricks together. So if you've ever dreamed of escaping the corporate grind and becoming a full-time real estate investor, have you ever dreamed about that, Mary?
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Rich? You ever dreamed about that?
a full, I've dreamed about it.
Part-time.
Yes. You are already out of the corporate grind. But for those that are not out of the corporate grind and they're dreaming of perhaps becoming a full-time real estate investor, Jonathan Twombly, our sponsor of themortarblog.com, made the switch from miserable Wall Street lawyer to full-time real estate investment professional. And if you'd like to find out how he did it, subscribe to The Mortar. Again, that's themortarblog.com. And there, Jonathan shares all you'll need to know to learn real estate investing from the inside out. And it's all free. Just subscribe to The Mortar, themortarblog.com. The Mortar, it's what holds the bricks together. All right. Sweet.
Nice.
Well done. Cool. Well played. All right. So we're here with Michael Patrick Burke, by the way.
Yes.
Otherwise, my buddy, we're close now. So it's MPB. I'm just going to call you MPB. You can just call me, you know, what my wife calls me, which is a lot of. Well, actually, we're on internet radio, so you can call me those things, too, so no one's going to know. All right. But all right, so before the break, we were talking a little bit about just some of the amazing things that you've been able to do over the years here. How can people get involved with helping to find a cure? And do you think that there actually will be a cure found for cystic fibrosis?
Someday, there definitely will be. The difference they've made just in my lifetime is amazing. As a matter of fact, I was mentioning that I had a tough time this year with lung capacity, and a new drug came out that I'm taking, and it actually treats the underlying genetic cause of cystic fibrosis.
Wow.
It's not a cure, but remember that doorway I was telling you about that opens and closes the cells?
Mm-hmm.
It makes the doorway open and close properly,
mm-hmm.
And it has helped me tremendously just in the past 3 months. So they're getting there, and I just hope it's in my lifetime because that will mean I lived a long life.
Yeah. And so you do a lot of speaking, and I would think that, you know, people would, I mean, gosh, they have to be inspired by your message. I mean, it's just such a message of perseverance. I got to ask you this. Jesus, when you look at people who, like, have all their shit together and they're complaining and they're just sitting there and they're just like, oh, you know, my life, this is my life. Do you just want to slap them? I mean, be honest. You just want to walk up and just slap people like that, no?
I used to, but you know what? We all got our stuff, and I open my speeches by saying, I'm going to lay some stuff on you. Don't compare your stuff to my stuff,
mm-hmm.
because there's someone else who's got it way worse than me with my disease.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of perspective, and what's important for me in my life and for all of us really is to gain that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What drives me crazy is when I hear people with really good jobs, highly paid, good benefits, the whole nine yards, complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just help them reflect on what they do have. You can press for more, mm-hmm. and I encourage that because I'm constantly pushing, right?
Yeah.
But we do need to appreciate what we got.
So when people face these sort of challenges in their lives, and of course, we can only hope that, you know, this whole thing gets cured, but for those that have any sort of affliction or even those that don't, when they face those sort of challenges, what sort of things do you tell them? Because I know you do a lot of speaking. So what are some of the things that we can think about as we face our own challenges?
Well, you know, growing up either in my job as an adult or growing up as a kid, in sales, they would ring bells and they would, you know, compare your production to other people, you know, in the business world and maybe try to scare you out of those old school stuff. With the disease, they would say, if you don't do this, you're going to die, Michael.
Mm.
And none of that worked on me. It just frustrated me that no one could put a spin on it that made me want to do these things. So what mattered to me is that I wanted to matter. I wanted to be part of something bigger. I wanted to be surrounded by can-doers. And I wanted to bring value.
Yeah.
So what I encourage folks is to dig deep, because those are the things that will get you going to take 10,000 pills when it doesn't always work,
mm-hmm.
to run even when it makes you puke, to, you know, do these things when there's no guarantee, because when you do them, it's the matter of doing them that can help you with the mental and emotional game, even when the physical doesn't work out. So I just help them understand just the tremendous value they bring and get connected to something. And it's usually, currently a lot about what you talk about. Get connected to why you're here on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to truly motivate you when the shit hits the fan,
mm-hmm.
and you're not sure what to do. It helps you adapt and adjust and look for the opportunity.
Now, do you work full-time?
I used to work full-time. I work, well, corporate full-time. Now I'm full-time as a motivational speaker.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah, good for you. So when you think about your legacy, as you look back on your life, and do you have kids, by the way?
No kids.
No kids. Okay. But so, you know, for future generations, if they were to say the name Michael Patrick Burke, and of course they were talking about you, what do you want them to remember? What do you think in legacy-wise at this point?
That's a great question. I want them to know they can bring value no matter what the situation is. Mm-hmm. And it is up to them to see that opportunity or to be a victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or as Wade says, you know, in Wade's Wisdom, which, by the way, we're going to have a little segment of the show called Wade's Wisdom. It's good, right? On the break, he had some Wade's Wisdom. I wrote it down.
Yes, he did.
What did he say?
I didn't listen.
I wrote it down. He said, Wade's Wisdom. He said, do it big or do it and embrace the amateur.
Yes. He is. Either he's
way,
got his isms.
Go big, right?
Either way,
he's Mr. Wadeism.
I love that. Wadeisms. All right, I don't know. Wade's Wisdom or Wadeisms. I don't know. We'll toy with that. All right. Very good. So, all right. So Michael's like, what the mother is going on over there? And that's just sort of the madness and ridiculousness.
No, it's a very
known as
inspirational story. Jeez.
It is a very inspirational story. And once again, Michael, for those that may have missed it, and if you're listening to the podcast, how on earth did you miss it? Just hit rewind and go back and you'll hear it. But for those that are listening on the podcast right now, once again, give us the name of the book and where people can find it.
The book is Waiting to Die, Running to Live, and it can be found on my website.
Awesome. And so, again,
we're not too technically advanced right now, so they have to contact me directly, which I love anyway because I like signing the books and giving that personal touch. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I can do that.
Awesome. And, I'm echoing. That's weird. All right. And if somebody wants to donate or support, you know, the Run for the Cure, whatever you guys are doing there, what are some of the opportunities to help find a cure for cystic fibrosis? Who should people donate to?
Keep it real simple. They can donate directly to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and they can be reached at www.cff.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of opportunity. The one thing I like about the foundation, one, they're curing the disease that I live with, but 90 cents of every dollar goes to research.
Wow.
Nice.
And this drug I'm taking since August is the second of its kind in the world, and the only other one was also funded by cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, awesome.
So they do very well with the money. Once again, I want to be surrounded by excellence, and I am.
Okay, awesome. Well, been an absolute pleasure having you on, Michael. And again, that is michaelpatrickburke.com. So Michael Patrick and then Burke.com. So you should definitely check out what he's doing there. So pretty
awesome story.
Awesome, right? I mean, Jesus, can you imagine being 16 and being told? I mean, 16 is like such a tender age anyway, right? But being 16 and being told you're going to die by the time you're 18.
Right.
How much drinking would you fucking do at that point? I mean, Jesus.
TJ,
right? I mean, yeah, like, I would just be like down on the corner going, whatever you got, I'm buying. Which is pretty much what I do now. So I guess things haven't really changed at all.
That's why you can't screw in a light bulb.
Exactly. I get lactic buildup. All right. Very cool. So check out Michael Patrick Burke, Burke.com. And we will talk to you next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.